Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Gentleman's Talk. I know it's been a while. I've been busy. I've been super busy. Like everything, life gets in the way a little bit. And kind of carrying on from my last podcast, I was talking about how, you know, the house has sort of fallen through. We've accepted that now. And, we're moving on to, I'm moving on to getting this whirlwind of ideas out of my head and from paper into reality. So it's been consuming me. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been overwhelming because I just want to make things perfect. But I've been doing a lot of reflecting. And today, you know, is the day I'm recording this on the Queen's funeral. God rest her soul. Long live the King. Fantastic words, and you know, we've had an absolutely amazing whether you're a royalist or not, you know, there's so many positive ways to look at this, in the sense of she's just a beautiful woman. She was incredibly talented, just a fantastic, pretty, stunning queen. She did everything, you know, she had a lot of positivity. And even if you're not a royalist and you kind of look at this from a negative perspective of what's the point in the royals and all that sort of jazz, I get it. I see it from both sides. I'm one of these ones that sort of analyzes everything properly, and by doing so, what I've done is looked at it from both dynamics, and I can see both points of view. But The common denominator here, whether you're a royalist or not, and seeing all this money being spent, etc., whether you look at it from a negative or a positive, it'll all come down. There's a common factor here, and that's the Queen herself. You know, Queen Elizabeth II, she was an absolutely amazing woman. So, you know, you just have to... I was just sat there today watching some of the... some of the events today, and sort of kind of the carrying and how they got, you know, all the forces involved. And we've, you know, I was actually very impressed with the Navy when they were pushing and pulling, if you like, the cart. Really, just to watch the military precision. Whether, again, you're for or against the military, it is a beautiful thing to see. And I've served myself, and, you know, I was reminiscing quite a bit. In the feeling that I got when I used to do those, like the Freedom of Swindon parade, and I used to do different parades here and there. It was an amazing feeling, and do you know what? You could feel the pride in the air. It was to be British today was this. Today is the epitome of being British, isn't it? You know, it's kind of, you know, the Queen, the King, all of the family together, all of the military together, the police, everything, people unified, a really big show on, you know, if you like. It was kind of like a big celebration show for this queen who's done amazing things, head of the Commonwealth. And today was one of those days where you could truly be British. You know, you looked at what we had and you were like, Christ alive, you know, you don't want to fuck with the Brits. And it did. It brought a lot of good feeling for me, especially as a serving soldier. You can't help but remember and acknowledge that, you know, you were a part of that, whether it be a small percentage. When you're in when you're in the armed forces, you are a part of the royalty. You become part of it in some sort of cog, some sort of mechanism. You do your part for king and country at the moment. It's been an interesting day. It's been an interesting time since my last podcast. Like I said, I've dynamically changed the outlook of my house, and I'm working from the shed all the way up to, you know, through the bedrooms and everything. So I've got a lot going on in my mind, but it's because I'm keeping busy. And the reason I'm keeping busy is because I had a little bit of a relapse while I was away last week. I didn't really talk about it. Because I try not to acknowledge it as much now. And then I was reflecting quite heavily the last 2 days. And yesterday I had this really, really amazing day. I went to play golf on a proper golf course with my best friend. We've done the pitch and putt for 8 to 10 weeks to just get used to the clubs and have a bit of fun. Yesterday we took a chance and played on a proper golf course. And I had a really good time. I underestimated, if you like, the distance you walk. It's very exhausting. But I got time to spend with my friend, and we just put the world to right. I had some good conversations with him with regards to some stuff that's been happening in my life, and it was nice to feel I was able to vent. Because I'd had a relapse. And by relapse, I don't mean, you know, drugs or drink or anything like that. What I'm talking, not that that is, you know, it's a very, very, you know, sensitive subject. So that needs its own gravitas in itself. But I'm not talking about a relapse in my sense. I'm talking about a mental health relapse. And, you know, it's kind of, I think for the last couple of months or last month since I, you know, we had this devastating news that was chucked my way. Whilst I was away, I actually spoke to my friend, and again, it was really nice. We hadn't seen each other, and he knows about the incident that happened in my family. And although, although we'd met up, we hadn't seen each other, for a few months. And it was nice to catch up, and we spoke about the incident. And it was weird. It kind of, you know, it brought it back for me a little bit, but it was because I was able to live it and almost try and move on from it again. So I processed it a little bit. So it helped, but it also knocked me a little bit for six. And then sort of coming back, I've been exhausted. I've been absolutely shattered. Work has been maxed out. And then we decided to go for a few drinks last night. And it was a bit of a weird night, really, because, you know, it was kind of, we lost a bit of conversation between the two of us, which has never happened in 29 years. We were kind of like just sort of sat there. It was because I think we actually analysed this a little bit. And we were like, it's because it's Sunday. Normally our bodies are... you know, it's not like the youth where you can drink on a Sunday and it's like Sunday fun day, fucking rah, wee. You forget that you're 41. Now that's not an old age by any stretch of the imagination, but you get used to your routine. I get used to my routine, and I've been out of it because, you know, we'd played golf and we'd gone and had a drink on the golf course, which we hadn't done for a long time. So it was kind of like, you know, you don't realise you're drinking for a long period. Oh, by the way, listen for the. Can I kick it? Yeah. A little bit of 90s R&B in the background, or, you know, sort of kind of chucking it back there. I was listening to last night and it was amazing. Anyway, I digress a little bit. There were some good tunes in the background. You'll hear a bit more of an upbeat feeling to try and compensate for my dulcet tones. Anyway. So, yeah, I'd had a sort of kind of... But it was a long day and we were sat there and we were like, right, should we put a movie on? And we were like, yeah, okay. And then we put a movie on. I fucking fell asleep halfway through it. And I was like, what the fuck? And we were like, what the fuck? Normally, you know, we drink on a Friday and we're like, you know, full of beans, drinking to the early hours. And wouldn't even think, like, you know, music going and having a really good time. But we were just shattered, absolutely shattered. And it was like, fuck. And I didn't know it because I was, you know, I'd had a long week. I'd had a bit of a relapse. Like I said, I'd go back and... talk about the relapse, and that was because I just had a bit of a, like I said, I brought this incident up, and I'd sort of kind of, it fell into play with a few things that's happened, and I've kind of lost, like, almost faith in the police service and stuff like that with other incidents that have gone along in our family. There's this girl, you know, I can talk about it because there's nothing going to be done about it, but, you know, this girl had knocked out my daughter, came sort of blindsided her and knocked her out and knocked her unconscious when she was young. They weren't friends. She just did it in a park. And, you know, we had to deal with that as a family. And then I was like, fucking hell, you know, got the police involved because there was witnesses, you know, there was like 10 people there. But it all got dropped because they were all friends with each other. So they couldn't, so the opinions would have been biased. And it's like, right, so with evidence and fucking stuff like that, and it gets worse. You know, so my daughter had endured that, so we had to deal with the fallout from anxiety and all that sort of shit. So, and this is like the youth of today. I kind of like reflected quite heavily a little bit with regards to sort of how I'm looking at life, and I'm finding it very fucking hard because I'm looking at that this girl that's blatantly knocked my daughter unconscious and affected her. And then we've had this other fucking incident happen, which has, like, blown us out the fucking water with devastating how bad it is. And then, after that incident, my daughter then was rung up and verbally bullied and abused and threatened to be stabbed by this same person who knocked her out a fair few months ago. And the police came round on the Saturday and said, you know, they'd had a chat with me, and they were, you know, they had a chat with my wife, sorry. And they sort of said, there's nothing we can do. You know, you might have taken it in the wrong context. Like, was it banter sort of thing? I mean, literally, I think that's the only thing that he didn't say was it banter? Was it banth, mate? No, literally, we've had like three or four incidents with this girl, and now, and do you know what? I sort of looked when I sort of heard them say that, and I sort of looked and just went, so if I went out now and smacked Seven Shades of Shit out of someone, you know, what would you do? Oh, you get arrested. Oh, okay. So I can get arrested because I'm an upstanding citizen, I've got a job, etc., etc. But if my daughter, these four things that have happened to her, in the space of 2 years, you know, the only thing I can physically do is, like, you know, imprison her in my house, because this has happened in such random places, in the sense that, like, you wouldn't expect it to happen, you know, in the center of town and all this sort of stuff. And you just look and you go, I don't know what to do with you. What can I do? I'm enduring all this fucking pain that these people bring in suffering to my family. And that sort of kind of, like, set my mood, really. And I was sort of sat there and I was like, I think it changed the dynamic of how I've been reflecting as well, which didn't help. So I've kind of, like, I heard that on Saturday, and that was just before. So I kind of, and I think my friend Kieran will tell you what it was like. He came across, and I'd literally changed the whole area of this cabin that I work in, fucking bar and everything in. And because I wanted it to be changed, I had an hour and I stressed myself out. And then he came through the door and I, like, put it to bed, and he was like, mate, put it to bed, fucking chill out, mate. This is about a relaxing day. So we went and played golf, which was a really good game. I really enjoyed it, but I didn't feel like I was fully relaxed. And then I came through the door, and the first thing I did was, like, strip down this TV and wanted it up in the perfect position, and we had to get it set before we could do anything. And that's just me. That's the way my mind is racing at the moment. And I said to Kieran, I was like, fucking hell, mate, what are you doing? And even when we were sat down in the back garden having drinks, I was explaining to him what I was going to do. And I was almost like, he said to me, I think it's amazing how you can visualize it. You can visualize it like it's already there and explain it in so much detail that I can see your vision. And I was like, that's how my fucking brain works, mate. It's nails, it's bonkers. Because I'm constantly, if you think to yourself, the way I can sort of kind of, the best way to articulate the way that your brain goes when you have these mental health problems, and when you struggle with mental health anyway, you know, you kind of, I imagine it like a ping pong fucking game. Do you know what I mean? In my head. And it's literally like, you know, you get those ones where they're like soft shots, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden it's like you get those really fucking hard, fast rallies. Or and for me, that's kind of what's going on in my head sometimes. And it's almost surreal, if I'm brutally honest, because I go to work and I just try to succeed. I just try to get on. I try to get promoted. I try to do the best I can in work. I clash with a lot of people. I know I do. Because I don't have time for bullshit, and I don't have time to be treated as a fucking idiot. So I do struggle with a lot of people, and once you cross me, I find it very fucking hard to move on. But my head at the moment is like bouncing around, because I'm like sat there and I've had all these incidents, you know, and in the space of the last 3 days, I've been told, well, sorry, the first instance, you know, with my daughter, you know, that got told there was nothing they could do even with the witnesses. Even with this one, you know, so I've had another three incidents since then. Revolving around this group of people that just have no respect for fucking life. And, you know, they're kind of sat there just systematically breaking down my family, and I'm trying to be this law-abiding citizen. I'm trying to be, but at the same time, as you know, as part of me sat there going, I just want to fucking hurt someone. You know, you kind of, your brain, but then you don't, you know, you kind of go, okay, well, I've got to do this. So you get there. It's crazy how the brain works, because you chuck in so many scenarios, and obviously, you know, we get society, so we can't. I'm an upstanding citizen. I don't, you know, I try not to break the fucking laws, you know, as much as anybody, any decent citizen would. But you get these crazy thoughts, but you have to battle them. You have to suppress them. You have to knock them down. You're like, you've treated me like shit. You've done this. Why aren't you doing this? My fucking daughter is like, you know, and you kind of battle. And that's what it's like. On Saturday when he came around, I was exhausted. So when it got to like 11 o'clock, we were sat chatting and we were like, fucking hell, mate. We've lost things to say. What the fuck's going on? And he was like, no, I think it's just because it's a Sunday and we both normally, you know, we know, although we got Monday off and it was for the Queen's funeral, we were just like, we could have the relaxed day then. But it didn't feel right. Your body clock didn't kick in. So it wasn't because we didn't find things interesting to talk about. It was more on the case that, you know, it was out of our routine. It wasn't like a case of, it's almost like your body puts up a defense mechanism to stop you being a fucking idiot because they're like, you know, you need to perform tomorrow, buddy. You can't be fucking drunk. But when you're constantly battling these things and you're constantly walking around going like, I'm trying to bat that off. And it was right down to, you know, making decisions became difficult in the house, you know. And I mean, I'm not sort of, I can make decisions left, right, and centre when I'm at work. It's a natural thing for me because I know my subject, so I make decisions. It's fine. But at home, you get sort of chucked curveballs that you don't expect, and you're sort of sat there going, "Oh, fucking hell, I can't be doing with this, or I can't be doing with that." And it's how you deal with those, and that sort of kind of brought me onto a bit of a difficult scenario. And not difficult, that's the wrong word. Just a change of perception in my reflection. That was an amazing little sentence, sorry. A change of perception. Yeah, that's what I think I'm going to go with, yeah. So, and in reflection, so it was kind of like, I like that, I was just trying to make sure it all ran. For me, it was, normally I go out and I reflect on the goods, and I talk about all the time, I talk about like making sure that you do not reflect on the negatives. But I always talk about, if you're surrounded by negativity and you're holding on to negativity, you will start thinking negatively. And it's very, very true. This is almost like a life episode here of the value in that exact sentence is here right now. I'm here talking to you because I'm negative. I'm trying to battle it. I'm trying to wipe away the negativity. But you do get consumed by it. You do get sort of overwhelmed. And you're thinking all this stuff's going on around me. And the authorities, the people that I trust to try and resolve these issues for me aren't doing that. And then you're kind of like trying to make a happy life. And you feel very consumed. And my reflection normally alters all that perception. I normally go into it and go, yeah, but you know, you've got a fucking beautiful family. You've got a nice house. You've got fucking three beautiful dogs. You know, your closest best friend, you know, you've known 29 years and you've got these really amazing people extra that are surrounded around you. And so that's normally where my reflection goes, but it didn't. It went down the route of, it was sort of exacerbated really by today with thinking about death and the Queen and people seeing emotional. And a lot of my reflection today and yesterday was kind of like how, what's the easiest way to say this really? Sort of how easy it is to accept when mental health has won. Do you see what I mean? It was kind of like, I was reflecting on like, you know, thinking where I was 8 months ago. And I was kind of going, how do you get, like now I'm trying to be so far away from that, the word suicide. You try to stay away from that as much as you can, obviously, because we don't want that as a scenario. But I was reflecting, and I suppose I reflected on it, but I did, you know, hold and stand fast with me because, you know, this does have a little bit of a flip to it. And I was kind of reflecting, you know, on kind of where I was 8 months ago and how I didn't really like who I, you know, not who I was, but how I was being treated. I was being unfairly treated in work. I had been previously, I didn't like my work environment, which was predominantly most of my day. You know, I hadn't gelled fully with my family again after being away for 7 years. You know, I'd had a lot of change going on in my life, and it was a very, very difficult time. And Christmas for me is inherently, you know, November and December are bad months for me because that's when my car crash has happened. So it's dark all the time, so you're naturally falling into the realms of seasonal affective disorder, sad. You know, so you kind of like, you know, you've got to try and up the vitamin D, you've got to try and get your sun lamps in. You've got to try and do so much, but if you forget those, you don't realise. So, I kind of got to the point where I was quite negative, and I was thinking about where I was, and I was thinking of it in a negative way, like how scary is it that you can get to the point where you're comfortable with not existing anymore. I mean, you must be under so much pressure, strain. Like, how do you get to that point? That's the thing I've been reflecting on. How did I get to that point 3 times where I didn't want to be there? And it was kind of a scary thought process, really. because it was like I was willing to accept that. I was willing to sit down and go, now's the time. I've got, you know, I'm 30 fucking nine or whatever it was. 40. Sorry, as I thought, yeah, I was 40, my last one. And I just went, I don't know what to do. But I was comfortable with that. I was like willing to accept it. The only barrier that stopped me in the end was that admission of guilt, that like I don't want to leave the carnage behind, because, you know, that's the selfish element to suicide that we don't think about. But I was very, very struck by, at the same sort of time, I'd actually lost a friend to suicide, Jamie Penaluna, and I still think about him now, because young lad that had absolutely everything, and, you know, apart from a family, which is what he wanted. And I spoke to him in one of my very early podcasts, you know, episode sort of, you know, we're creeping around the 5 to 10 times mark. So we're talking a long, long Fairview podcast ago, but go and have a listen. And I talk about him and how he had everything and how I'd seen him before. And then I kind of moved on to myself and thinking, well, actually, I'm dealing with this at the same time that I was actually dealing with it a couple of days before myself, or a couple of weeks before. Now, that wasn't a case of, look at me, here I am. But that was just a case of, you know, he was 30, I think he was about 36, I think he was, something like that. I think he was, forgive me. Like, say, don't, I knew him very well. I didn't know I didn't know the details of his life, but I would happily go for a drink with him. He's a very, very nice lad. And he had everything. He'd finished his electrician's qualification. He'd been offered a job in Germany on good money. He had everything, but he ended it because he didn't have a girlfriend or children to celebrate Christmas with. And it's crazy how we get to that point. You know, how do we get to that point? And that's what I've been reflecting on with the negativity. And not through the intentions of going, oh, okay, this is all getting on top of me. Trust me, there is an element of this is all getting on top of me a little bit. And I am a little bit conscious of that. I'm doing a lot with work. I'm doing a lot with my home life. And I'm trying to make things better on a budget, if you like. So I'm trying to do the right things for my family. I'm trying to make my daughters feel safe and comfortable. They're losing faith in humanity in the police service because they're all seeing their sisters and my wife's seeing her own daughter and I'm seeing my daughter, you know, get hurt and nothing happen about it. So it's like, how do you reinforce that? You know, there's a lot going on in my mind. So it's kind of like you're constantly battling all these things, but I still try to remain positive because I'm doing it for them. But there is a time where I will inevitably probably crack, and I'm trying to avoid that as much as I can. And what that does is, like I said, we reflect, we talk, we open up about things. But it is getting to that point. It is getting very difficult, if you like. So, you know, I kind of reflected a little bit on that. I reflected on how easy it was for me to accept that. That was quite a scary thing. It was quite easy for me to go, I've had enough. Do you know what? I'm going to sit there. I'm going to fucking end it. I don't want to be here. And and like I said, from the outside in, I looked like I had everything. I had, you know, like I said, limited edition motorbike. I had, you know, that was my hero, Rossi. I had a nice house, nice family. I had a nice car, all standard stuff. I'm not talking flash. I'm not driving a Ferrari. I'm talking, you know, a 20-year-old fucking car. But it's a nice, well-looked-after car, you know, it's and it's mine, do you know what I mean? I don't owe anybody for it, so it's an old runaround, but it gets me about, and it's like, I had the nice things. So you look on from the outside to the inside, you're like, oh, why the fuck are you like that? And I've been reflecting, I suppose, on the Queen, and like I said, you know, the not jumping on that bandwagon, but just seeing all the way that people have been, But that just doesn't seem a reality on what I'm facing and what I see around me. And I suppose that's where I reflected, how easy is it to get to the point where you're willing to stop, you're willing to give up? You know, how easy is that? It's scarily easy to get to a point where you're willing to accept that you no longer want to be here. And having had those thoughts, they are fucking horrible. They are absolutely, they destroy you. They're a part of, it's almost like I class it as PTSD in its own way, in its own right, if you like, because when you experience that, you know, that feeling, when you experience that want to not be here anymore because you feel that much pressure, when you actually feel that and you in whatever method you turn, and normally it is men going out for walks to try and clear their head, and no, they haven't. They've just got an agenda in the sense that they want to do it somewhere else, a bit more private. And you think to yourself, it's scarily easy to be there. Scarily easy. But that's how much pressure we put on ourselves. That's how much... And I've been reflecting quite a bit, and like I said, the positive element to this is, by reflecting like that and accepting that and owning it, that's what I'm doing. I'm owning the fact that I've been there. I'm not ashamed of it. Part of me, like I'm a very ambitious person in work. Absolutely. I want to succeed. I want to be a leader. I feel I've done enough to prove that. I like being a leader. I love nurturing people. And I don't want people to assume that by me talking about my mental health in this capacity, that which I do get the odd remark about, that it shows a weaker side of me. It's not. I'm actually trying to embrace it. I'm owning where I was 8 months ago, and I'm grabbing the fact that I'm moving forward with it. I've been in the depths of hell, and I'm still here. And I'm fighting some of the things that you just would not accept in reality. I'm fighting things in my family. There's elements of that has brought, to be fair, a lot... Some people have shown true colours in that light as well, you know, in that sort of sense. That happened 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I've not been, you know, you don't hear people say... It was initial. I got a few remarks initially about this, but you don't hear much afterwards, and it's the after effect, you know. And there's a... This is when you rely on those people around you. You rely on talking to them. You rely on having them around you. So it is. There's an element of negativity that's been around the thought processes lately. But at the same time, not really, because I'm accepting who I was. I've accepted the fact that that's been to it. I have a valid reason as to why it got to that point. A valid, valid reason. And I accept that, and I've analysed that. I've reflected so much about that, that it's given me the strength to go, okay, you accept it. Well done, James. You embrace that you did that. But you're here now making a difference, and this is the difference. Once you reflect and you actually build on yourself and you develop yourself and you take an understanding of yourself and your mental capacity, what your limitations are, what makes you tired, what makes you fucking wired, and what makes you fired, you know, those sort of things. When you actually look into your soul a little bit and go, do you know what? Maybe I'm the problem and I need to look at myself. Maybe I need to reach out a bit more. Maybe I need to do this. Or they're hurting me, or that job's hurting me. Once you make the decision and reflect on those, understand it and move on, you're a better person. You grow, you develop. And that's the beauty of what this podcast for me is about. Here I am now, you know, almost 10 months in? August? No, so almost 10 months in to doing these podcasts. And, you know, 115 episodes in. And for me, that's incredible, because what it's given me the ability to, is to reflect on those times. And that's why I'm talking to you in this process, is to talk about it. Acknowledge where I was 9 months ago. Acknowledge, yes, embrace it, own it. But at the same time, go, you don't need to be there. What did you kick in place to make sure it doesn't happen? And that's where your friends, your family kick in, and they understand you, and they're there for you. Because it's a toe curler, you know, in the sense, you know, it's like ripping hair off at the moment, the news that comes my way. So it's and I mean chest hair or underarm hair, if anyone can relate to that. Chinese torture method, probably. So it's been crazy. It's been absolutely crazy. But I, you know, like I said, I've had some good times. I spoke to some amazing people, and like I said, the reflection side of things was. And to offer a positive, because we all like that shit sandwich, don't we? That was the shit bit in the middle, talking about it. But we all like the extra bit. And that was where, when I reflected, and so I've gone a bit dark, and I went a bit sort of kind of, that's where your mind goes. You are dealing with some pretty traumatic things. But like I just did there when I was talking to you in the podcast, I got comfortable. So what I did is I switched positions, and I'm now looking at a different element of my cabin. So it's like a different perspective, isn't it? So now I'm looking at you and I'm going, right, but I'm going to offer you the positives of that. And the positives that I took out of that was I am surrounded by the right people. I have managed. I had a fucking beer with a very good friend of mine, Billy, and it was absolutely fucking incredible. We got to chat, and I got two or three hours of his time. We had a good time. And we managed to reflect quite well on, you know, the events. So it helped me unpick a little bit. And that was a good thing, because that's an extra person to unload on. So you look at the thing and go, okay, it dragged it up because I spoke about it. But at the same time, no, what we did is we processed it. And then I was able to explain it. And he put things into different sort of context for you and offers a different bit of advice. Or sits there like a fucking rabbit in the headlights thinking, what the fuck's this guy talking to me face to face about? This sort of shit, I don't want to hear this. I just came here for a beer. Probably what he meant, but obviously open and honest James fucking spat it out. So I was even scared in the conversation, but that was the whole purpose of having the right people around you, is to be able to offload and accept that. And like I said, I had an amazing time with Kieran yesterday. We went fucking playing golf, and honestly, I can't express how good it was to actually reach a decent golf course. And we walked for, if fucking walked for miles, I was bollocksed, but we walked for miles, and it was just a really good time to sort of put the world to rights. And that's what I think the beauty of the golf that's bringing to me now is, it's not a solo sport, it's a team sport. You can do it as a solo sport, but it's just as, it's, if not better, actually, than a solo sport, because you're out having a good time. And that was the sort of kind of reflection, and it sort of kicked in today quite a little bit with regards to how I felt. And I was able to sort of look at the positives and the negatives. And like I said, you know, it's horrible to accept the fact that when you think those negative thoughts and you go into the process of suicide, you need to try and sort of... The easiest way to try and relate it to something is like a reserve tank, you know? It's kind of like... This is kind of the way that I'm going to give you an analogy on how I would look at it and make sure we don't get there. Is it's on a motorbike or in a car, you'll have a little red area where it's reserve, and you'll get an extra 20 miles or whatever's in it, dependent on the vehicle. This is the way I'll give you a little acronym, or so a little sort of speech about it. And what I mean is, when your tank is completely full and you look and you've got 20 miles, that's your reserve. That's your time where your fight or flight will kick in. And that's when you turn around and you go, no, I need to fucking fight this. And when you lose that ability to have a reserve tank, if you've lost the ability, or, you know, the fuel gauge is faulting, it's not telling you correctly, that's your brain. That's the way to sort of decipher it. Your fuel gauge is your brain. So it's telling you, your brain is telling you when you're depleted and when you need to start fucking looking after yourself. You get the alarm bells. I certainly do. I, like I said, you know, when I'm feeling utter shit, I know for a fact I put on a bit of weight because I'm moody. I shovel fucking food down my throat and I don't go out as much. I then get in pain because I'm not doing as much exercise, and I blame the accidents. You know, there's signs and symptoms there. I get little tiny stress spots on the tops of my quads. They're the types of signs where my body's saying to me, fucking hell, James, you need to relax. You need to chill out. You need to go. And that's when you're taking constant information and you're constantly processing things. It's really hard work. It sort of makes things really difficult for you. And
hold on, just a sec.
Quick sip of drink there, sorry. But it makes you think about everything. It makes you go over everything. And for me, that's kind of where I got to. That's kind of the difficult situations. But what's happened is I've managed to kick in all of my defense mechanisms. Like I said, my faulty gauge is not there because I'm working on my brain. I'm not ran on empty. I'm actually sat there topping it up as much as I can. I'm trying to stay half a tank. So I don't, you know, when you let your tank go down and all the mechanics, and, you know, I was a mechanic once years ago, but they say never run your tank on empty, on right to the empty. Never let it go into reserve because it drags all the rust and shit that's in the fuel tank that's come away. So that then in terms, you know, I'm talking mechanical stuff there, but it basically blocks your injectors, or if you've got an old car, carburetors, it'll block the jets. So you won't run full capacity. So what we try to do, and this is where we try to kick in these little things, you don't always be reliant on people around you, but a prime example actually is probably a relatable example is one of my friends, Nelly, you know, I've done a couple of podcasts with him, but he's very much one of these ones where he'll constantly go out for walks. And every now and then he'll post a video or he'll show a picture. And it's nice because he's actually actively, probably doesn't realise, but actively looking after himself. He's constantly keeping his tank topped up. And that's where I kick in with things like reflection walks and playing sports or looking for fun things to do or designing. I've got a fucking world of things that I turn to. But when you start doing that and you start engaging with the right people and you start looking after everybody, looking after yourself that's around you, that's your tank will constantly stay halfway. So you'll constantly be looking after yourself. Yes, we do sometimes go a little bit less and we go towards the empty side of the fuel tank. But then what we do is things like holidays cut in or family time away or weekends away with your partner or your family. That tops us up into the full area because we're getting away from all of technology and stresses of life. And the stresses of fucking living in communities that are overfilled, overpopulated, with an almost lawless society, it feels like. But it takes you away from all that. You get to just control your own little place. And that's important. And that's what tops us up to full. Gives us an extra little bit length in time before we start getting these mental breakdowns. So it's really important to look after yourself. It really, really is. And this was kind of like a bit of a reflection on the fact of, like I say, just where the mind goes. And you constantly battle stuff. And you have to constantly be on yourself all the time, looking after yourself. And yes, I do, like myself, I rely on my friends. And this is a kind of more of an educational piece on making sure that we do reach out. We do look after each other. Don't do it for the gram, as they say. You know, do it for reality. I certainly, I didn't touch my phone at all on Friday. I just left it there. I could not be arsed until the evening. I'm getting into this habit of moving away from being reliant on my phone and looking at social media or looking. And I just move away from it a little bit, just to give myself a little bit of a time away, just to spend time with my family and actually appreciate that time without being glued to my phone. So making these little adjustments, these little tiny, tiny adjustments help us. And that's kind of what you've got to keep developing all the time. It's constant improvement, continuous improvement, as they call it. I dropped that because we spoke about this yesterday when I'm continuously changing the dynamic of my bar and house. I'm constantly trying to continuously improve. constantly improving. But this is more of an educational piece to make sure that you do look after yourself. And like you say, give you a little bit of relation in. Like you said, you know, fuel tanks are a very relatable thing. We use it all the time, providing you drive, obviously. But it's important to look at your life as a fuel gauge. And when you're sort of, you can almost visualize it. If you're feeling stressed, you're feeling, you know, really sort of output and tired and not got the energy, not got the resources or motivation, just visualize where you think your tank will be, where the needle on your tank will be, and you're like, do you know what, I am running there. Well, you know, what would James have advised? Oh, go out amongst nature, get away from people, you know, for a little bit, you know, sort of kind of go and take yourself out for a couple of hours. It might be right down to, you know, going and getting your hair cut. I talk about all the time about well-being. Going and buying yourself that item that you know that you can afford, but you've been putting it off because you just don't want to do it. Well, do it. You live once. And that was the reflection revolt, I think, around obviously seeing all this, the British be British today. You know, raises a lot of awareness. And obviously with the Queen passing, and you think, Christ, she's going to live forever. And, you know, she made it to sort of 90, the ripe old age of 98. I think it's 98, yes. Was she 98? I think she was 98. I don't want to do her an injustice. But it just goes to show that some of us are sat there waiting for this, thinking we're going to make it to, you know, to 100 and get the Queen's letter. Or it would have been the Queen. It would be the King's letter. But even someone such as, you know, the Queen, who's lived a very lavish lifestyle, very comfortable and always eaten wealthily, you know, and that's the stature of being the Queen. I fully appreciate it. I'm not holding no negative connotations towards that. But what I'm saying is she's lived like a queen. You know, you say, oh, I'm going to go and live like a king. She's done that. And she made it to 98. So you really need to look when you're sat there, like me, I'm sat there at 41 and I'm thinking, Christ, I've you know, put myself into a fucking, almost into a fucking burial ground early because of stress and depression and letting shit get on top of me. When in actual fact, the woman with the least stress in the world probably never had to sort of kind of worry. Although you could look at her duties as worrisome a little bit. She has to fly and meet people and eat good food. And again, I'm not being negative or sarcastic. But what I'm trying to say is in context, you know, she's had a, you say, I live like a king. When you think to yourself, you're 41 and I've done this, this and this, and I've, you know, thought suicide. I've fucking given up everything because what, one person made me feel shit at work for a long period of time. Well, take yourself out of that environment. That person's fucking annoying me. All right, fucking take yourself out of that person or go up to that person and acknowledge and say you're a fucking idiot in a nice way. Obviously, so you don't get yourself in trouble. But what I'm saying is, we build and we live on this stress, and we're not even guaranteed to get to 100, which is the nice age of 100, isn't it? You know, we're not even guaranteed. We know that the average lifespan is 70 to 75, I think it's like 72, something like that. So, you know, you think to yourself, I'm 41, so I've not got very long left on this world. If I keep wasting my time stressing about things and making myself feel fucking shit and worrying about what other people are doing and not just thinking, fuck it, I'm going to go and do that. And that's why we nurture the right people around us. We get those good people around us because we enjoy our time with them. So we're not batting off the negative energy of somebody. We go, no, I'm gonna bat him off or her off or whoever it is, because they just bring nothing but negativity. I want positivity. I've got a short span on this world. We are a speck of dust in the reality of things. So yeah, things will fuck us off in life, but just push those things that fuck you off aside. Get rid of them. If you can't get rid of them, find the channel that does get rid of them. Find a way, you know, where there's a will, there is a way. And I think that that's kind of where my brain, like I say, it's been a scattergram of craziness this last week. I regressed a little bit. I did feel quite low and sad. I tried to push through it. You know, I've reflected quite heavily on the negative aspects of life. And, you know, it's easy to blame other people. It's easy to blame someone needs to reach out to me. Someone needs to do that. It's easy to say that. But the reality is you need to constantly look after yourself. And even just doing this podcast, I've realized that, you know, it's easy to go through the motions. And you've probably lived and experienced a lot of emotions in the last 40 minutes. I've got a lot going on. But at the same time, I'm stable and I feel confident because I'm doing the right things. I'm reflecting. I'm talking to the same people around me. I'm spending time, I'm managing my day confidently. I'm, you know, I'm drinking and eating healthily to a degree. I've had a good weekend, don't get me wrong. But I'm trying to manage things, and it's kind of, that's where the reflection aspect comes in all the time. Like I said, good music. I've had good music for 3 days now. Absolutely lived on music since I felt a bit low, and it's really, really helped me. Boost my mood, put me in different places. I've listened to a couple of songs we listened to last night that took me back to being 16, 17 again. Almost sort of reliving your youth in a confident way and a positive way. So it's so important that we do that. And like I say, I've got some good friends around me. I've managed to see them and hear them and be involved in them the last few days. And it's been incredible. I've had some really good positive news from a couple of friends. So we can combat them. And although, you know, the middle of this podcast, it felt like when you talk about these things, it feels like the world is on your shoulders. But as it's been explained, you come to the other side. It doesn't make the problem go away, but by talking about it, helps you to try and understand it, trying to unpick it, trying to motivate yourself, trying to give yourself the confidence to stand up and be counted. That's the thing. Make the move you need to make. It's like a game of chess, isn't it? Make the move that you need to make on a chessboard of life, we'll say. And it's really important to do that. Like I say, we're in a crazy time at the moment. You know, we're pulling out of a pandemic. You know, that we were 2 weeks ago, we were in a massive recession. Everybody's getting crippled. Gas prices were through the roof. Energy prices through the roof. And that's all gone to bed now because, you know, the Queen's passed and we've focused our media attention on the Queen. And then it will all come back down. So we're jolting everywhere. It's crazy for your own mental health to be experiencing all these different emotions. But we manage them. We manage them through the capacity of looking at well-being and mental health. That's what we absolutely do. Getting out there, listening to the right music, talking to the right people, reflecting, yoga. I talk about it all the time because it just, it helps you, people. It really does. It helps you. So that's basically sort of nitty-gritty of really, this is my reflection, I suppose. Because obviously I would have done it yesterday, but, you know, yesterday was a drink with my good friend. So jumping in today, it's kind of a nice reflection on where the mind goes for me, where my mind goes. It's a horrible place sometimes. It's not the greatest place to sort of live in. But if you don't talk about it, then other people won't talk about it. And then we can all share stories and we can all relate and we can all help each other. There's been times when you've sat there and you've gone, fuck, I don't know what to do, or fuck, this has made me feel this way, or whatever. But just by talking, just by being open and honest, just by helping someone, maybe offering that little pinch of advice that they may need, or just offering them someone to talk to, that really does help. We all go through these different emotions in life, and we get chucked curveballs that we don't expect, and they are hard to deal with sometimes. And sometimes you keep batting them away, but you're going to get tired, you're going to get exhausted. But the reality is, we need to put them all in context together, work strongly, and help fight them. Like you said, that's the only way we can get through these problems and resolve them. So there you go. That's my little reflection. Ups and downs. Crazy. But thank you for listening. And hopefully, like I say, I'm going to get a good night's sleep tonight and hit the ground running. I've got my work brain on already. And tomorrow is going to be a great one. I'm just going to hopefully come out with some another really good conversation tomorrow. I'm really feeling the mood now. So it's been really good. So I've got this out the way, the reflection out the way. So have a good one. I will speak to you all soon. Take care and look after yourself.